Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz. Only on MSL Radio.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, people, how you guys doing? I hope you guys are excited because we are. This is going to be another great show for us, so how you guys doing? Let's get to it.
That's right, guys. We've got a couple of topics we'll be talking about today. We're going to be talking about Paul Walker's daughter, Sue's Porsche. We're going to be talking about MySpace Tom. Y'all remember him way before Facebook. And we're going to be talking about the Pico cassette that you can plug into your iPhone. So let's get started, guys. First off, we're going to start with MySpace Tom. A little bit interested in talking about him because, you know, Facebook is the new trend now, guys. Everybody loves Facebook. Everybody knows what Facebook is. But in my opinion, what came first was MySpace. Chris, you remember MySpace, right?
Of course. I mean, who doesn't? That before Facebook and Instagram and all that, that was the place to be. I used to have my top 16, top 8. You know, if you made my top 8, it was, you know, it used to be a fight to make everyone's top 8, top 16 or whatever. MySpace was where it was at, and it was really popular, and it was really fun during its time.
Exactly. What I liked about MySpace is it gave you, like, a top friends list you could put, but then, you know, it was always a fight if you didn't have someone in your top friends. They're like, yo, why am I not in your top friends? I thought we was cool, you know. So that was a pretty cool concept. You got the ability to add music to your page. You got the ability to design your page. It was all really cool. I actually really liked MySpace when it was out and when I was using it at the time. Yeah, MySpace is still out, but most people are on Facebook nowadays. You can still find some people on MySpace, but Facebook is a new trend now. But in my opinion, it got the start off of MySpace. But, Chris, did you have Tom? You remember Tom looking over his shoulder, writing something down, a board next to him. Did you have him in your top 8?
No, not me. I didn't have Tom in my top 8. That's because I didn't know Tom. But I was very grateful that he gave us MySpace because I had a lot of fun on there.
Yeah, a lot of people probably didn't have Tom in their top friends or top 8 or whatnot, you know. But do you want to know what Tom is doing right now? Most people have that question because most people probably don't even remember Tom because Facebook is out and it's all about Mark Zuckerberg. You know, Facebook got that movie. Everyone talks about Facebook, but MySpace didn't get a movie. No one really talks about Tom. So I came up with the idea, let's find out what Tom is doing, right?
Exactly. I mean, why don't they have a true life about Tom and his MySpace? I mean, Mark Zuckerberg got a movie. Why can't Tom get some screen time? Why is everyone hating on Tom?
Exactly. I mean, I want to know why Facebook blew up. Like, that's one of my questions I'm interested in. What made Facebook blow up faster, quicker, or more than MySpace? Because MySpace was pretty much, like, in my opinion, the first Facebook. I don't know which one came out first, but I know I was using MySpace before I switched over to Facebook. But I want to know why, you know, Facebook blew up more than MySpace did. Do you have any ideas in that or anything like that?
I don't know. I guess it was the way – it was more of, like, adult-themed. I mean, I know a lot of teens use it now, but back before, it was mostly college students and adults that was using Facebook to begin with before the MySpace group jumped over to Facebook. But I think it was because – In Facebook, you can type how you feel, your thoughts, people like it, or you can put new pictures quicker. It's just, I think the way it was set up added more of an adult-themed type of, like, profile than MySpace did. I feel like MySpace was more of a teen, like, hangout, and that's what you mostly saw. It was just for teens. I feel like Facebook is more for everyone, and even, like, maybe not for kids, but more for the teens and adults and elderly people. That's how I feel it's geared towards more people, so more people gravitated towards Facebook. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. But my idea was, well, my point to the conversation was, what is Tom doing now, you know? Apparently, according to his, like, Instagram page or whatnot, he's living the dream. He's just traveling from place to place, just taking photographs of different areas and different places, and every photograph here looks beautiful. He's just going around the world. I mean, it's pretty crazy, and honestly, I think I would do the same thing. He has so much money off of MySpace, probably obviously not as much as Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, but he's made a lot of money off of MySpace, and he's traveling the world just taking pictures, living the life. I think that is one thing I would love to do. If I had money, I would do the same thing that Tom is doing.
Must be nice.
Exactly. He's gone to Norway. He's been to Lone Pine, California. He's been to the Saharan Desert, Iceland. He went to Burning Man. It's just different places, crazy places. And every picture he has here looks beautiful. He's obviously living a wonderful life. I mean, in my opinion, he made the correct decision to travel the world. I mean, this place is such a vast world. You might as well get the most out of it or travel, see different places while you're alive on this earth. And he had the money to do it by creating MySpace. And MySpace back in the day was awesome. So that is what he is up to, yeah. He's traveling.
I mean, is that
the world.
His girl's tour or his girl's tour?
Oh, yeah, it's his world tour, you know? But
shout out,
I mean,
to Drake.
He's
dropping some lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, but he sold his company, MySpace, for $580 million. So, with $580 million, he's traveling the world. I'm sure he's living well, obviously, with $580 million. I'm sure he's living well, probably has a nice house somewhere, but he's traveling the world. So if anyone was ever interested in what Tom is doing now, if they even remember Tom, he's traveling the world right now, guys, taking pictures everywhere. He went to Japan. That's another place that he went to. He's just traveling the world, and he sold MySpace for $580 million. And as we know, guys, MySpace is still doing well. It's still out there, even though Facebook is like the front runner. MySpace is still out there, guys, and is doing well. And Tom, he's doing well himself. Got some major money off of it, and he's just traveling the world. Living the dream, in my opinion.
Way to go, Tom. Way to be an entrepreneur, man.
That's right. So, guys, that's all I have to say about Tom and MySpace. But we're moving on to Paul Walker's daughter. We all remember the late Paul Walker. He was a great actor in some major motion pictures, especially Fast and the Furious. We all mourned his death. I mean, I don't know. We all mourned his death, but we all felt the loss of Paul Walker. Well, his daughter, Meadow Rain Walker, she's 16 years old, she is suing. She is suing Porsche for wrongful death of Paul Walker. What do you think about that?
I don't know how this came about, who put this idea in her head, if she always felt like this. But what I want to know is why I haven't heard about this until now. Why is it taking so long to start suing Porsche when you had all this time? I mean, at this point, shouldn't she just let it be? I mean, it was an accident, if anything. And, I mean, a tragic accident, yes. And, yeah, he wasn't a Porsche when he passed away, but I don't think she should be suing the entire company. I don't see the purpose in it. I mean, I just don't see the purpose in it. It makes for an interesting story, but personally,
well,
I don't
think let me tell you what this is about. Meadow Walker and her guardian, Brandon Bertel, have filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the Volkswagen-owned car manufacturer, Porsche, 2 years after, you know, Paul Walker died. And in the initial investigation into the accident, Paul Walker and his financial advisor, Roger Rodas, claimed that the accident was caused because the car driven was going too fast, but the lawsuit alleges that the faulty car was to blame, citing that the lack of an electronic stability control system, along with the seatbelt that broke the actor's ribs and pelvis, which trapped him in the car, were faulty. So the machinery in the car were faulty. That's what they're suing about.
Also, they're saying that the vehicle wasn't right, and that the faulty vehicle is the reason he passed away. I mean, Yeah, that happens with and like claims like that. You know, you see this on TV all the time where they have claims of like vehicles not being manufactured correctly, and they sue and they win the cases. But in this case, I don't know if she has grounds for that. I mean, I would like to look into this and see the case and see what she's actually like the basis of this, and I want to see what Porsche has to say about this, because this is an interesting case, and this would be a kind of a higher profile case because of the celebrity that it was involved in this. So I want to hear more about this. This is the first I've heard of this. So I want to hear more about this, and I want to see if she has grounds for this claim. And I think people are actually interested in this.
Yeah, well, in an excerpt from a lawsuit, it was filed in a Los Angeles Superior Court. It states, in her capacity as sole heir and on behalf of the estate of Paul William Walker, plaintiff is to recover all damage to the estate proximately caused by the wrongful death of Paul Walker, including without limitation all lost income and earnings, present and future, expenses and all general and special damages to the extent allowed by the law. And then it states that the lawsuit alleges that the car was traveling 71 miles per hour at the time of the crash, not 100 miles per hour like they reported. The plaintiffs also claim that Paul Walker would still be alive today if the Porsche Carrera GT he was riding in was properly equipped, citing weak building materials and fuel lines, along with the seat belt. And then, you know, Rogers Rodas, the passenger along with Paul Walker, the one that was driving, his widow, Christine Rodas, filed a similar wrongful death lawsuit against Porsche in May 2014. But the lawsuit was pushed back by the auto manufacturer, claiming that both deaths were caused by Rodas' driving. So they're claiming that he wasn't actually driving 100 miles per hour, only 71, and that because of the faulty material, that's why they died. And if it would have been better building materials inside the vehicle, they could have lived.
I mean, do you think she should be dredging this up now, though, or does it bother you, or do you think she has all the right in the world, or does she have claims? Should she be doing this, in your opinion?
I think she's probably angry, and she's trying to look for a way to release some of the pent-up anger. I mean, she lost her father, and no amount of time would cease the pain. She's probably trying to find someone to blame it on. She's probably blaming it on Porsche. I'm not angry about this. I mean, if she wanted to take it to court, that's why we have a justice system. She took it to court. Now, whether she wins or loses, that depends on the law. However, I'm not mad about this. I believe she's just angry, and she's trying to blame her father's death on something other than, you know, God's plan, you know, because things happen for a reason. Unfortunately, he passed away. But I believe, in my opinion, she's angry, and she's just trying to let it out.
Yeah, I concur. I just think she's looking for someone to blame or someone to make the bad guy, because it's hard to blame something that's not a living entity like a vehicle. It's hard to blame the car. You have to blame the company, Porsche. You have to blame the bad guys behind them, or the ones who were irresponsible and didn't manufacture the vehicles correctly. However you want to look at it, she's spinning something into something else so she can have closure for her dad and find someone to blame. But I want to see more of this, and I want to see how it actually turns out, whether the case turned out to go in her favor or it's dropped or it's just completely put to bed. I don't know. I want to see how this goes and how it ends. But this is a cool story, and I didn't know this story until you brought it up. So I find that pretty interesting.
Well, the lawsuit doesn't, because, you know, she's trying to get money, and obviously the lawsuit doesn't specify an exact amount of damages, but since the lawsuit is seeking both lost income and future earnings that would have been earned in the sequel, such as Fast and Furious 8, the lawsuit could end up costing Porsche tens of millions of dollars. So we can see how this turns out after the decision, whenever this gets, you know, reconciled or not. But, yeah, it can cost Porsche tens of millions of dollars, so I'm sure they're hoping to win. I just hope Meadow can move past her father's death. Obviously, she loves her father, but I just hope she can move past it. And I hope this gets settled soon for her sake so she can go on living her life. But, yeah, this is an interesting case. And when I read about this, I was, you know, interested in seeing why she's suing nearly 2 years after the fact. but she's suing because she believes it's faulty equipment in the car. Whether she's right or wrong, maybe it's a personal vendetta, who knows? But I would love to see how this case turns out. So we will keep you updated on that, guys. If you have your own opinions, again, just feel free to talk about it on Twitter or Facebook with us. Well, guys, that's the first of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We're going to go quick to a commercial break, and then we'll be back for the second half of our show. See you soon.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? This is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at Armbrister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to Cruise Control. Hope you enjoyed the first half of our show. We're back from commercial break. Chris, say what's up to our people.
What's up, Hey, people, welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed the first half. The second half is going to be just as crazy, if not better. So, Jay, what do we got for the last topic of the day?
So, guys, in our first half, we talked about Tom from MySpace, what he's up to. We also talked about Paul Walker's daughter suing Porsche. Now, guys, we're going to be getting into some video gaming. Awesome! So, what we're talking about is the Pico Cassette. It lets you plug a retro game cartridge into your iPhone, meaning that Beat Robo, that's the company involved, wants to bring back some old-school charm with some old-school games. They're going to put some old-school games into a little cartridge that you can plug into your iPhone that'll let you play the old-school classics. So, if it's up to me, I'm hoping they're putting some Super Mario on there, some Mortal Kombat, some of the old games that I used to love. Legend of Zelda, I used to play those for Super Nintendo, and I used to love it. I used to have so much fun playing it when Super Nintendo was first out, guys. So I'm super excited, actually, about this.
Yeah, when I was a little Christian, you know, we used to play some cool games, Jay, and I'm looking forward to playing these retro games. If it does come out, and if it's pretty good, I would like to get it. You know, just plug it into my iPhone or whatever and be able to play throwback games. Then I wouldn't have to download all of these apps. I mean, obviously, you still download the popular apps. Shout out to Angry Bird. Hey, but, you know, I would like to play this. I would love to play Super Mario or Legend of Zelda, all these little Nintendo games that we used to play that were pretty cool and that we used to have fun playing when we were little. So I think, I think 90s kids or the 80s generation, whoever was around when Nintendo was out, would love this. They would look at this and they would we would snag this up. But I don't only think it's for our generation, the ones who grew up with this. I think it's for kids nowadays. They would have fun playing those games too. I know the graphics might not be that great, but the gameplay sure is fun. So if you guys didn't know about this, now you know, and it's pretty cool. Like, so look into it and see if that's something you would like to get, because it's something we would like to get. We find this interesting and something we would like to play.
Exactly. And Beat Robo, they pretty much designed it, because we all remember, you know, putting in the cartridges, if it didn't work, taking it out, blowing it, then putting it back in, seeing if it works. We all remember doing that. That was actually pretty entertaining for me. I don't know about you guys, but it was pretty entertaining for me, unless the game just didn't work. Then it was pretty annoying. But the act of just taking it out and blowing it and then putting it back in, I mean, come on. We all know people grew to love that. Well, Beat Robo has designed the miniature cassettes to resemble the Nintendo Famicom games, so pretty much the same thing, the same concept, while utilizing the company's Plug Air technology to bring back the titles, but to the smartphone screen. So, which is pretty innovative and pretty cool, because Plug Air technology has been used previously to sell physical music and video content. The technology converts sound waves into electric power and data, which is used to authenticate the device and unlock content. In the case of the cassettes that we're talking about now, it acts as an authentication key that allows you to play the game, which is stored on your actual device. So what I'm assuming they're going to do is just you download the game, you plug in the cassette, and it's going to act as a key to allow you to play it, which sounds pretty interesting and pretty cool. And it's actually a very smart idea for those old-school gamers that love those old-school games but want to play it portably. It's going to be, I think this is going to sell very well.
I think it will sell well if the controls and the gameplay is very similar to how it was. I mean, playing on a phone has to be different than playing on a console. So I want to know how it's going to be, like, you know, set up similar. I want to wait, because it all depends on how smoothly it is. And if there's no glitches involved with the downloading or the actual gameplay, then yeah, I think it does sell really well, because I think a lot of people would like to play old school retro games. But I think it all comes down to the way it's played and the way it comes downloaded. As long as there's no glitches or bugs, or as long as they're minimal, then, yeah, I think it gets scooped up like hotcakes. But I guess we'll wait and see. I do want to play it.
Well, we all know that game consoles and PCs, they have the capability of digitally storing games on built-in hard drives, so to eliminate the need for a physical copy. So once you, we all know, like most games, like for PC, for example, you get the copy, the disc, you download it to your computer, and then you don't need the disc anymore. You can just play it on your computer. Pretty much the same concept for Xbox One or PS4 nowadays, where you can download it. It's pretty much the same concept. So what they're doing is they're eliminating the need for physical. Now, imagine if you still had to maintain the physical disc, but you insert it into your phone. That's pretty much how the process is working. So it's pretty much like the old way people used to play. But the Pico cassette does a little more than just serve as a reminder of gaming's golden years. It gives the owner ability to access saved games on different devices. Your saves are handled by the faux cartridges, which can communicate with Beat Robo servers and allow you to pick right back up from where you left off, no matter what device you're using, which is pretty cool.
I guess they're making it easily accessible. Yeah, I think they're making it easier accessible. So, which is always nice. Now I can play on multiple devices besides my iPhone. So, I mean, I do find that interesting, and I find that convenient. I do think they're gonna kind of beta it, where they're gonna give it a test run and see how it works before they actually mass produce it in a sense where it's their final product. Because at first I do think they need to try it out before it gets before their final decision comes in that they're gonna mass produce it or not.
Exactly. I mean, and if anyone misses the days of the 16-bit graphic games, we have something to look forward to, because I know I'm probably going to get this. I don't have an iPhone. I'll probably get an iPhone just to get this, guys, honestly, because I need to change or upgrade my phone anyways. So probably just switch it to an iPhone just so I can get this when this comes out, because, you know, all the games that you can download on your phone now, Angry Birds and whatnot, they are a lot of fun, don't get me wrong. But I kind of miss the days of the Super Nintendo games or the Nintendo games. So I'm looking forward to this. I miss my 16-bit graphics playing my Super Mario and stuff like that, Mortal Kombat. I would get this, and I would be on my phone all day playing those games. I hope the controls are pretty simple to get to, but if you all are with me on getting this and, you know, playing those old-school games that we all used to play back in the day, or even if you're a young person listening to our show and don't know what Super Nintendo is, I recommend getting this and just trying how video games used to be. Yeah, the graphics might be good, but all the game was always pretty fun because it couldn't rely on graphics. It had to be entertaining. Nowadays, games can solely rely on story and graphics and get by, but the games back in the day were just so much fun and so entertaining to play. That's why they're always so replayable. This is why this will probably do well and sell well. So I have high hopes for this, and I do think it's going to sell well because you do have your old-school gamers that would look forward to this. Like myself, I'm pretty excited for this. And I think it's a really cool concept, guys. The fact that you can play it on any device as long as you have the cartridge and you can play those old-school games, it's pretty cool. And when I read this article and that this was coming out, I just had to talk about this on the show because I know I'm excited. I think you guys are going to be excited about this, too. And I just want to inform the masses.
All I got to say is, to anyone listening, run up if you want to. 1v1 me. If y'all want to get this, shout me out and 1v1 me in any game. Call it whatever. Let's go. My Twitter handle, @Accuracy266. That's how I feel about it.
That's how you feel about it, 1v1 you in any game? Man, I'll take you out when we get it. I'm gonna let you guys know a little bit more about this the closer it comes to being released. But it looks like Japan is coming out with some pretty good stuff. I believe Beat Robo is a company in Japan, if I'm not mistaken. So Japan is coming out with some pretty cool stuff. They just came out with that Pokemon app. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I just recently saw it, where you can pretty much catch a Pokemon anywhere in the world. It, like, shows you where a Pokemon is, and then you, like, play catch it. It looks pretty interesting. I don't know how good that would be in real life if anyone wanted to be a Pokemon trainer, guys. I mean, shout out Pokemon. But, I mean, just going back to the cartridge, guys, I think this is really cool. So it's going to let you play the retro games. So, guys, tell me what your favorite retro game is, and tell me if you're hoping it'll be on the cartridge. I don't know what will be on the cartridge. Maybe they'll give you a list of like a whole bunch of games to choose from, or maybe just a couple. Not sure yet, guys, but let me know what you think and what games you want to be on there. And guys, that's pretty much it for our show. So let us know what you think about the topics we talked about. Give us your opinions on everything. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. So I hope you enjoyed our show. We had another great show. So that's good night. Chris, if you want to say good night to our people.
Hey, people, thanks for listening to us. But let's wrap it up. You know, we'll be back again tomorrow, so can't wait till then. Good night, guys. Thanks for joining Cruise Control.
Shut up and drive.